Believe this, the time has come, is the title of our message on this Sunday after Christmas. Sing, sing a song, sing out loud, sing out strong. Don't worry that it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Just sing, sing a song. I bet you were all singing along with me on that one. You remember that? It was called Sing, written by Joe Raposo in 1973 for Sesame Street, but then it was recorded by others, like that brother-sister duo, The Carpenters. That's the one I used to hear on the radio all the time. You maybe know that version better than the Sesame Street one. Just sing, sing a song could easily be the theme of these first two chapters of Luke's Gospel. There are many voices here, all engaged in telling the same story, the birth of the Messiah. Luke begins by promising to his readers an orderly account of the things fulfilled among us, so that we might know with certainty the good news of the Messiah. He then introduces us to a cast of characters: Zechariah, a priest in the temple in Jerusalem, Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, a relative of hers, a young girl named Mary, and Mary's betrothed, Joseph, and some angels and a few shepherds, and these two worshipers in the Jerusalem temple, Simeon and Anna, all play a part in this prologue to the story of Jesus. Loud and strong, their songs sing out of reversals of fortune and the upside-down kingdom vision of God our Creator. We meet Zechariah first, on a day when he is serving in the temple. In the holiest of holy places, he encounters an angel with a message just for him. His wife, who seems too old to bear children, will give birth to a son. And Zechariah is so amazed that he loses the power of speech. It is only after his son is born, 9 months later, that he regains the power to praise God, proclaiming God has finally come to redeem the people. Meanwhile, in a strange reversal, Elizabeth does some singing of her own. Of her unexpected pregnancy, she boldly proclaims what her husband cannot. The Lord has done this for me. He has shown his favor to me. And then Elizabeth becomes a prophet in her own right when young Mary comes to visit. Elizabeth greets Mary joyously, prophetically even, with the words, "Blessed are you among them. Blessed is the child you will bear." As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And then it's Mary's turn. Unlike Zechariah, Mary was not awed into silence by her visit from an angel. Mary's first words were simply a question, "How can this be?" followed by a simple statement, "May your word to me be fulfilled." But now, in the company of Elizabeth, whose exuberance is contagious, Mary burst into a song we call the Magnificat. "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." From the lips of a young girl, this proclamation that old societal norms are being turned upside down, not by a king or a general, but through the birth of a child. While these women have been center stage, angels have been warming up in the wings. Because when the child Mary carries is born, the angels carry the good news, not to the Judean Tetrarch's palace or the Roman army barracks, but to the lowly shepherds in the hill country outside the tiny village of Bethlehem that lies just to the west of Jerusalem. "Here is the good news," they say. "The Messiah has been born, but not where you would expect. Look for him in a manger." And their exit music rings out, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. One more duet before we learn the kind of man Jesus will be. When the time came for Mary and Joseph to fulfill the law of Moses, in other words, it was 40 days after giving birth, Mary was to present herself in the temple for ritual purification. Faithful in their observance of the law, Mary and Joseph now encounter Simeon and Anna, two aged figures, two more unlikely prophets. Simeon proclaims this child is the one he's waited to see. My eyes have seen God's salvation, a light of revelation, glory for the people. And Anna not only gives thanks to God, she goes out telling everyone she meets about the birth of this child. Thus, Jesus' life and ministry has been heralded by angels and humans, by women and men, by the aged, the young, and even an infant. And the plot twist is established. This child shall turn the world upside down. The proud will be scattered, rulers toppled, the humble raised, the rich sent away empty, while the hungry are filled. What songs these people sing! Each soul finds their voice, loud and strong and unashamed, once they have seen the light of the Christ child. For each soul, the time has come. Have you found your voice in the midst of the Christmas celebrations this year? In this year's darkness, have you found a song of hope to sing, to inspire others, even to inspire yourself? The film Beethoven's Ninth showed us communities around the world where people find hope and inspiration performing the Ninth Symphony, especially in Japan, where at the end of each calendar year, hundreds of performances of the Ninth are undertaken across the country, a communal celebration known as Daiku that took on added significance in 2011 and the ensuing years after a tsunami devastated Japan's coast. They still sing about light and hope. Perhaps instead, you've remembered a love song. In the second week of Advent, I told you about former Tennessee Governor Ben Hopper, who learned at a pivotal moment to remember that God is our daddy. God's love helps us live into our fullest, best life. Maybe you have tapped into a reservoir that reveals joy even in unhappy times. The film Requiem shed light on the shared experiences in the Terezin prison camp in Czechoslovakia during World War II. Prisoner Raphael Schechter taught the Verdi Requiem to his fellow Jews in Terezin, using music to lift their spirits beyond their circumstance, even if only for an hour or two. Maybe your song is a lullaby for peace. Maybe it's a cry for justice. Maybe it's the song you sing to sustain yourself and keeps you pressing on in the kingdom work of reconciliation and justice and peace. Like Bernice Johnson Reagan did in the civil rights movement. We learned part of her story last week in the documentary Sweet Honey in the Rock, Raise Your Voice. And maybe your song isn't a song at all, not in the classic sense. Maybe you write or find other avenues to make your voice heard. Maybe you quietly give of yourself, quietly take action in ways that proclaim the presence and the power of Emmanuel in the world. Christmas, and the time to admire the baby born in the manger, is now past. The time has come to honor him and give ourselves to the work he invites us to share. The new year approaches, and so does the ritual of resolutions. But today is also a good day to resolve to begin a new practice. Tomorrow is a great morning to start. The time has come, said Simeon. I have seen God's salvation, and so have we. Wait no more. The time is come. Live your faith. Amen.